So first, a huge shout out again to Sophia. Thank you so much. Deep bows to you. It was wonderful. And it's my very great honor to introduce our last speaker, our last poet for today. And I'll first introduce him as a fellow Zen priest, local Zen priest. Peter Levitt is, from a Zen perspective, one of our great teachers and one of our great elders. There's a great treasure here in Salt Spring Island in the Salt Spring Zen Center. He really is a tetsujin, one who has broken through to the Buddha way. And so we're better as a species because he's among us. He's also a fine essayist and philosopher. I think many of you know his finger painting on the moon. He is a sine qua non translator. I think one of the reasons why Dogen is having a seismic shift in Western consciousness has a lot to do with Peter Levitt's groundbreaking work in translating Dogen, not just Dogen, many others, including Hanshan, Cold Mountain, and then a book that was imminent about to appear last time we were here and now here, Yin Mountain, the immortal poetry of three Taoist women. It's a great book. Well, please get it as quickly as possible. And then, of course, per our occasion today, Peter's a great poet, as you'll hear right now, and he has many wonderful books to his name in that respect. So, Peter Levitt, thank you.
Until he gets here, I'm going to speak. Find my glasses. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
So I really, I wanted to focus on the subject of the day, which is place. And I really wanted to focus on this island, this place. And Shirley and I came here on April 3rd, 1996, and the next day we got married down at Isabella Point after being together for 10 or 12 years. And we thought we'd have just the two of us at our wedding, but we had five blessed uninvited guests who came. This is called Orca Wedding. The sea is all distance, a lover without end or true horizon. And yet these waters make a home, circling rocky coasts and croppings, the middens of an earlier people, hidden in soft earth beneath the fir and cedar. The rhythms of their gatherings, a continuity they learned from the seasons and the sea. My wife and I came to this place late in life, came to be married and then to live here and to die among what had always called the sounding of currents and waves, no different from a mother who makes the first sound anyone has heard. It is what binds us together as surely as the Salish waters bind together the islands where we make our home. Our first night, before we would rummage in the woods to gather the makings of an altar for the mossy slope where we would say our vows, I stood outside our small rooms and listened into the dark, listened to a sound I had never heard before that lifted from below the cliff edge in the waters I could not see. In the morning, we sat silent beside our altar and looked past the world of no horizon. Then we said what no one else would hear. This is when they came, five of them together. They rose up out of the waters below us with the whoosh I heard now for the second time. Yes, they sounded, again and again. Then they made a circle, a perfect ring to help us seal our vows before they dove to where they no longer could be heard or seen. Love has its own way of rising, letting go or diving deeper still, though we may never know its root in the uncertain waters of what we are. But we came to this place to live as we were able, and to raise a child who would climb far beyond our reach in his forest home, a green-eyed boy who learned the forest's silence and took into his body what an island is, shaped by the rhythms of what can and can't be seen in the unbroken lineage of the sea.
So
So that's the island in general. This is where we live on Cushion Lake here on this island. It's called Pale Shadow. I rise early and walk to where light enters the forest in silence, tentative as a new lover, my hands leading me branch by branch on the uneven path. Overhead, the powerful stroke of wings through air causes me to stop. A sound like feathered oars as the morning hunt begins. I can just make out the direction before the soft whirring disappears. 2 summers passed, my wife looked on as an eagle dove without warning into a flock of ducks floating lazily near the marsh at Cushion Lake. The force of the attack plunged the predator beneath the surface as she watched from shore. Then the eagle lifted its huge form above the water, shook and tried to rise, its claws clutching prey. There was no way it could lift off, she told me. The killer and killed had become one body, and the weight wed them where they were. Finally, the eagle began to roll. He arched his great wings forward into the lake and pulled against death's enormous weight until he reached the shallows where water lilies tangle among fallen limbs. Then he dragged his prey into the soft grass to hide among the reeds, his shadow on the water, the last thing my wife could see. There is a silence that surrounds this world of shadow and light, an unmoving invisibility that clarifies each thing as it is beside the next, a membrane that shapes the detail one by one. It is how it all conjoins. I walk in the woods beside the river that rolls its soft tongue among stones night and day. It is not words that guide me, not life or death or change or anything I can name. It is the stillness before any name is given and the stillness just after. The unseen body that lives in the space between trees or flows beneath the earth's green water. I hold the image of the eagle's kill no different from the first time I saw my children bathed in the birthing blood that helped to keep them alive. All words, all that die or kill and struggle to survive are pale shadows, transparencies that return to their source at such a time. The unmoving ground beneath the ground where we stagger or we stride. And the last poem will take us right into one of the great joys of our life, which is gardening. And Shirley is not just a wonderful poet, she's also a potter and pianist and violin player. And as soon as I say I'll lose a little weight, she turns on the oven and starts to bake. I like to tease her and say, you like your boys big. In grace, poor Shirley. The beans are sweet, abundant. You pluck them from the garden with desiring hands. Then your eyes carry them through the meadow to the house where you cut loose their caps and dance them into the waiting bowl, dreaming the Ukrainian music of your violin. It is a bowl you turned on the wheel until it spun itself into a shape you hoped would never stop turning. A bowl glazed with a trace of blue sky and the full lips of desire. How long has that bowl been waiting? How long must we wait with desire? Love arrives, or it is delayed, or it cannot stay long enough for the meal to reach an end. Meanwhile, the earth that flies and will fill us at the last fills us now with green, with rain, with the mineral song that weaves through eons without ending. And you, who long with a woman's longing for the good of her son, her husband, the poetry that pours through every moment of your living, You sit down beside us at the table. Place your hands quietly, briefly, in your lap. Then you lift them, palms together, like a tender flame each of us holds, and we bow. Thank you.
That tender flame.
Yeah, that was just, thank you. So beautiful. So thank you, everybody. That is everyone. That's everyone's read now. And we can still linger for a bit, can't we? We may, and there are still books here. And some of us are going over to the Salt Spring Inn in a while, around 4:30, if people want to come and have tea with us or a drink. They're very welcome. So just, again, thank you so much. And is there, Paul, have I forgotten anything?
Take bookmarks, they're free.
Oh, yeah, please take a bookmark with you.
The festival in October. Tell them
about
the festival.
Oh, and come on up. You do it better than I do.
The 7th Cascadia Poetry Festival is happening at Spring Street Center in Seattle. October 6th, 7th, and 8th. Tess Gallagher and Andrew Schelling and Brenda Hillman and Jan Zwicky and Robert Bringhurst and Gabriela Gutierrez y Muz and Sara Mario Ortiz. There will be workshops, there will be panels. It's a small space, it only fits 80 people. So we encourage you to go to, you can grab a bookmark, you can see for yourself. And we look forward to seeing you back here in April when we're here for a launch of Cascadian Zen, which I've had the great pleasure to edit with Jason Wirth and Adelia McWilliam. To have a presence, an opportunity to come, an excuse to come to this island is one of life's really beautiful joys. So for those of you who live here, I'm envious. For those of you who are visiting, you know how I feel. And for everybody who came and enjoyed the poems, thank you for supporting this work.
Thank you again, Sophia, for making this available to us today.